In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the consecration of all the churches within the Franciscan order. And if we look at St. Francis of Assisi, we see early in his conversion, he was praying in the chapel and our Lord spoke to him and said, Francis, rebuild my church. And he looked around the ceiling, the roof was caving in, the walls were falling, it was dirty, very much neglected. And so St. Francis went out simply asking people for stones to rebuild the church. And with his own hands, he rebuilt the walls, fixed things, swept and cleaned the church, and made it presentable once again. And he went from church to church, these little chapels throughout Assisi, throughout Italy, cleaning them up before I think it really dawned on him that our Lord is speaking of the mystical body of Christ, of the church militant, that the souls who had fallen away, but the neglect of the church, the disrepair of the physical church buildings, is symbolic of what has happened within the souls of the people. And so fixing the one tends to repair the other. The church is not just spiritual and dealing with our souls. The church is also material and it deals with our bodies. The two go hand in hand and they're truly inseparable. And so we must take care of the one in order to take care of the other. Recently, I had a man ask, you know, about all the wars going on in the world today and that we should pray for peace. And he sees this as kind of a pacifist agenda. And I says, it can be. I believe there are many people in the world who think all I can say Hail Mary for peace and then I've done my duty. That's all there is to it. And I say, well, prayer is good, prayer is necessary, but it must be combined with action. I believe that St. James in his epistle says that faith without works is dead. The prayer is a spiritual thing that is the motivation for our physical actions to change the world in which we live, to make it a better place, so that souls may be saved. And so when we speak of the church, we speak of the Catholic Church, we're speaking of two things. The spiritual church that's made up of people, these souls that are gathered together, they're the church militant, because we still have bodies, we're still here on earth, and we must fight the good fight with St. Paul. We are the church militant, but there's also the physical structure. And all of my little children here know about the church and how we should behave in church because, at least they should, they've been to many of my retreats and camps where I come and bring them into the church. We look at all the things and we talk about how we should dress, how we should behave, and what we're supposed to be doing. How to make the sign of the cross, how to genuflect. And we go through all of this. Respect. All of this politeness. Because we are in the house of God. The new Jerusalem. The new temple. In the temple of the Old Testament, they had things that were symbolic of God's presence with them. The Ten Commandments written on the stone that was given to Moses. Some of the manna that fell from heaven when they were in the desert. These precious things they kept to remind them that they were God's people, that they were in the house of God. And these things were kept in a sanctuary, separated from the rest of the people that only the priests could enter into. There was an altar set up there for sacrifice. But in today's epistle from the Apocalypse, we see that there is a new Jerusalem. There is this new temple, the Catholic Church. And this is not just symbolic are reminding us of God's presence. But in this new church, in this new Jerusalem, Christ is truly present. And this church is adorned like a bride for her wedding. We give the most beautiful, the best that we have to offer, and putting the church together and adorning the church and cleaning the church. We give our best. We put on our best clothes when we come to church. We put on our best behavior when we come to church, because we're not just going to the mall or to the store or to grandma's house or to a friend's house or to work or play or school. The house of God is different because Christ is really and truly present. The first thing that catches our eyes when we enter the main doors of the church is the tabernacle, where Christ is really and truly present. This is the new Jerusalem, where God is truly with his people, and we are his people. All those who have been baptized are his people. We have inherited the promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This blessing for all of the nations has come to us because we have accepted the faith, we have received baptism, and Christ has come upon our altars. A perpetual sacrifice, the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary, is what takes place in our church, and it is a very somber and moving ceremony for us to participate in. And we can come and we bring our own little crosses, our own little sacrifices, our own little penances. And at the offertory, we put our sacrifice alongside of Christ's sacrifice. And as Christ offers himself to his Father in heaven, he offers our sacrifice along with his. And because the Father cannot reject his own son's sacrifice, his own son's offering, he accepts ours. And our offerings, our sacrifices, kind of slip in with Christ, encompassed in his sacrifice. And thus our sacrifices become acceptable to God. Of themselves, our sacrifices are worth nothing. We're sinners. What do we have to offer to God? Our sacrifices, our penance, will never be enough to efface the insult that we have given to God. Our sins, especially our mortal sins, are deserving of eternal punishment in hell. And because we are finite creatures who have offended an infinite God, we cannot atone that. We cannot make up for that. That is why Christ has come. And he's taken our sins and he sacrificed himself. And he is perfect. He is innocent. And his sacrifice is acceptable. And all he asked is that we unite our sacrifice with his. And all of this is made possible in the church. And so we should have great respect for the physical church in which we dwell, but even more so for the souls that make up the church. The church is the new Jerusalem. The church is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It is our little Bethlehem where we see our Lord come down from heaven upon our altar and make himself present for us to worship and to adore, to love, to pray to. He comes into this dwelling. And so this is truly the gates of heaven. And this is why we treat the church with such great respect, with such awe, such reverence. Even if the church is humble and little, we bring our heart and soul there to God. And we do our best to make the church of God presentable and worthy of God who has come down from heaven. But we must also do the same for our own souls. Our souls are the church. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. Christ wants to come and dwell within our souls, within our bodies. And so we must purify our souls. We must wash them clean, make them a proper dwelling for Christ to enter in. During the season of Advent, I often tell you that we must prepare in our hearts a place for Jesus to be born. And don't tell me that our hearts are too filthy, too dirty, because our Lord was born in a stable with the animals and the dirt and the stench. But when God entered that stable, it became paradise. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph did their best to clean the stable and to make it as appropriate as they possibly could to welcome the Redeemer into this world, to welcome the Son of God into this world. We too must do the same with our own hearts and prepare there a receptacle where Christ can come and dwell, where he can enter into our hearts. And no matter how filthy, no matter how dirty, he will come if we do our best to clean it up, if we wash and put it back into order. God will put our soul in order by coming there himself. And that which was dirty, that which was unacceptable, immediately becomes acceptable when Christ comes and dwells therein. And we have a beautiful example of that in today's gospel, when Zacchaeus, the leader of the publicans, he wanted to see Jesus, he wanted to hear him, but he was short and he couldn't see. So he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up the sycamore tree so that he knew when Jesus passed, he would be able to see him. And when Christ got to the tree, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus there and says, "Hurry up and come down, Zacchaeus. This day I must go and eat in your house." And everyone is scandalized. Zacchaeus is the leader of the publicans. He's a sinner. How can God, the Son of God, this Messiah, go and eat in the house of this public sinner? And Zacchaeus was a very rich man. And he knew what the people were saying. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, half of my wealth, I'm going to give it to the poor. And if anyone has anything against me, I'm going to restore it to them four times over." And our Lord says, "This day, salvation has entered your house. You are truly the Son of God." Zacchaeus did what he could to wipe away his sins, to make amends for the evil that he has done. And Christ entered his house. salvation entered his house. And Christ is ready to do the same for us today. Renounce your evil, do penance, clean your house, and God will come and dwell within it. Have as much respect for your soul as you do for the house of God, or maybe I should reframe that. Have as much respect for your soul as you should have for the house of God. We should respect the physical structure where God dwells. And we should have even greater respect for our souls where God wishes to dwell as well. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.